This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Disarm is fourth, looking for running room. Now goes to third, 3.5 lengths off the lead. Demolition Duke is fourth to his inside, but Arabian Lion leads to the top of the short stretch in the Stone Street Lexington. Arabian Lion with First Mission having plenty of room to the inside and trying to scoot up the rail to challenge Arabian Lion. Close quarters between this pair, then Disarm, and then Dennington. First Mission keeps running up the inside. First Mission grabs the lead. First Mission, Luis Saez to win it. Arabian Lion home second. Disarm was third in 1 minute 43.74 seconds in the Stone Street Lexington.
Now, here's Bobby Newman and Bob Nastanovich.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman, along with Bob Nastanovich. We've got a dozen races from around the country this weekend to talk about tonight, Bob, including the final points qualifier on the road to this year's Kentucky Derby. That is the Grade 3 Lexington tomorrow at Keeneland.
Yeah, no, it seems the Lexington seems to be a race that ought to be upgraded from its grade three status. Obviously, First Mission, who won it last year, has gone on to be a very good horse, was very impressive in the Essex at Oaklawn not too long ago, and a very nice field assembled for this year. And a pair of very important grade one stakes this week for fillies and mares, one at Keeneland, one at Oaklawn.
Folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then deposit $150, bet $150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's just that easy. AmWager is a wagering platform that's loaded with valuable tools and features, including odds charts, odds predictions, and much more. You'll also get free access to Form to Win. It's a revolutionary app that analyzes past performance data in just minutes. Once again, link.amwager.com/HRRN. Go there to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players for horse players. All right, Bob, we're going to kick it off with the action at Keeneland tomorrow. They have three nice graded stakes on the Saturday card, the first of which is race number 7. It's the Giants Causeway. Surprisingly, a filly and mare race sprinting at 5.5 furlongs on the turf, but a full field of 12 going. 13 were entered, 12 will run. Hard to figure who's actually going to be favored in this race with these turf sprints. It seems like they're kind of crapshoots no matter where you look. The morning line favorite is number 11, Elm Drive, a SoCal shipper for Phil D'Amato.
Yeah, to give you an idea of how competitive this race is, the four horse in here who we know very well, one of the best Illinois breds in training, is Uvra, the starlet of the Chris Block training operation at present. She's in here. Her morning line price is 8-1. She's 15 for 26 lifetime and a winner over this turf course. However, she came ninth in this race last year, albeit encountering trouble along the way. She won in an off-the-turf stakes race at the fairgrounds on January the 6th, and then she ran into Overcharged. We know how great Overcharged was. I mean, Overcharged was pretty fantastic. This meet at fairgrounds. Play the Music's in here, the one horse. She's really been rejuvenated as a turf sprinter. Her career seemed to hit a wall, and then trainer Mark Cassie put her on the turf. She ran a massive race under Antonio Gallardo at Tampa last time, and the Lightning City Jose Ortiz picks up the mount. She's definitely a player, but I settled on Bling. Bling's also a winner over this turf course. Vicky Oliver trains her. Johnny V takes the mount, and she was mighty impressive last October 6th here, winning a 5.5 furlong event on the turf. A condition allowance race, but she came out of that race and she ran a huge race behind Surge Capacity and Heavenly Sunday in the Valley View, sort of proving her affinity for this turf course. So at 6-1 in the morning line, I'm going to take a shot with a two-horse Bling in the Giants Causeway.
I think she's got a big chance as well. I went to the 8 Roses for Deborah. I like the fact that she's run well on wet turf courses in the past. They've had so much rain at Keeneland this week, I can't imagine that it's going to be firm conditions by tomorrow. They've got some of the races on the turf earlier today they ran, but it was yielding today at Keeneland, so I would think good at best. And Roses for Deborah has run well on wet turf courses. Ran against the best in the world in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint last time out and really didn't run terribly in that race. First start of 2024, I think she's as good as anyone. 4-1 on the morning line is a fair price on Roses for Deborah. She's my pick in the Giants Causeway. The featured event, if you will, tomorrow at Keeneland is the Grade 1 Jenny Wiley for fillies and mares, going a mile and a 16th on the turf. We've got a field of 10 gathering in the Jenny Wiley. And another race where it's tough to figure out who exactly is going to be favored in this race. Morning line says it's the Chad Brown trainee, Gina Romantica, who really was not far behind beating boys in the Breeders' Cup Mile last time out.
This is a fantastic renewal to Jenny Wiley and $600,000 purse and just a stellar field assembled here. Let's start with English Rose, the Godolphin entrant. William Buick comes over to take the mount for Charlie Appleby. She's 3-for-4 a lifetime. She won at Maidan on February 23rd, and she's just an outstanding filly. She's a 4-year-old. She's by Frankel out of a horse called Sobetsu, a Dubawi mare, who won a Group 1 at Deauville during her career. So regally bred. Gina Romanica is 2-for-2 on this turf course. Chad Brown trains, Tyler Gaffleone rides. She was incredibly gutsy last October in the First Lady when she won that race by a head over in Italian, who was heavily favored that day. So this is her favorite course, and she's working excellently at Payson Park. Didia, who we've got to know quite well, the Argentinian bred daughter of Orpin, is in here. She's the 9. Jose Ortiz rides for Ignacio Correas. She ran a massive race last time at Gulfstream, beating the likes of Surprisingly and Ruby Nell. We talked earlier before that race about how she's just been fantastic, with the lone exception being in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf when she got beat by world-class horses like In Spiral and Warm Heart. So she definitely fits, but I'm going to go with Search Capacity. Search Capacity, I think, is just an excellent unexposed filly. She's 4-for-5 lifetime. I happen to actually have been in attendance last year at the Valley View when she flashed home to beat Heavenly Sunday. It was really impressive, made an impact. And she performed similarly when she went out to Del Mar and won the Grade 1 Matriarch, her last race on December 3rd. Like her stablemate, Gina Romanica, she's working excellently at Payson. I don't know if they work together, but they're working really well there. And I think Chad Brown and Joel Rosario, anywhere close to 5-to-1 in the morning line, would be a gift on Search Capacity, despite how tough this field is.
Yeah, it's too tough of a race for me. I would spread if I was playing this race. I landed on Gina Romantica, and the fact that she's morning line favorite means that I'm not going to bet the race. I don't really think she's any better. It's certainly not much better, if any better, than some of the others in this field. I just love the way that she's run at Keeneland, and I think that her 5-year-old campaign could be her best. And she's got the same running style as a lot of the others in here, so it's maybe just a question of which jockey is able to get the right trip aboard these talented fillies and mares. We both like Chad Brown runners. I've got Gina Romantica. Bob's got Surge Capacity in a tremendous edition of the Grade 1 Jenny Wiley. 10th race tomorrow is the Grade 3 Lexington for 3-year-olds going a mile and a 16th on the main track. It is a points qualifier, 20 points to the winner, 10 to second and onward toward the Kentucky Derby. Field of 10 in this race, Bob. Morning line favorite is number 2, the Wine Steward. We haven't seen since the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland last year. The horse who has the most to gain by winning is number 5, Hades, the Holy Bull champ. With a win, would have enough points to get him into the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, Hades is a nice horse. He's a gelded son of Awesome Slew. Joe Orsino reaches for the blinkers. If you like him, you got to put a line through his last race. And, you know, he's got a valid excuse. I mean, he's a front runner. He likes to be on or near the lead. He's very tough, dueling and carrying on with it. He proved that in the Holy Bull. He got a horrible start. He got slammed at the start, completely taken off of his game plan, fell perfectly into the hands of Fierceness, who he probably wasn't going to beat that day under any circumstances. But he certainly would have been a lot closer and made the race a lot more competitive. Paco Lopez goes to Oaklawn to ride in the Apple Blossom. So Jose Ortiz takes them out for the first time for Orsino and Hades' fifth lifetime start. A couple other real interesting entrants in here. Encino goes for Brad Cox. Godolphin and Florent Giroux, a horse that's run three good races, including winning the Battaglia at Turfway on March 2nd. He'll step on something other than a synth course for the first time, but he's working quite well at Keeneland for the Lexington. Kind of notable that very, very deep closer Liberal Arts takes a stab in here. He was way too far back in rank in the Arkansas Derby. He was bet down to 7-1 in that race, and Robert Medina takes a crack at these and taps Irad Ortiz, who's, of course, on fire at Keeneland this meet, to ride him. But I think we have a pretty special horse in Lexington, and I think hopefully in the future the Lexington will carry more points in terms of Kentucky Derby qualifying, because the Wine Steward really was an excellent two-year-old, and he makes his comeback in this race for Mike Maker, Luis Saez, who rode him in the Breeders' Futurity. His only loss when he got beat half a length by Locked. Before that, he was 3-for-3 and won really impressively. And you know, he's by Vino Rosso out of a two honor and serve mare. He was expensive. I think he's just a really, really nice colt, working extremely well at Churchill for Maker. And I think that he'll sparkle in the Lexington tomorrow. I think anywhere close to that morning line of 5-2, despite the layoff, is a gift.
Yeah, I don't think he lays over the field, but I think he's the right horse in this spot. The Wine Steward, I was a little bit surprised that he was the morning line favorite because of all the attention that Hades has been getting. But I expect the Wine Steward to be lower than 5-2. Like you said, Bob, he just never runs a bad race. If he runs one of his normal good races off the layoff, and there's no reason he shouldn't, he's going to be very tough in tomorrow's Grade 3 Lexington out at Keeneland. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the Oaklawn card. They've got a couple of graded stakes tomorrow, including the Apple Blossom. This is the Amwager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Fans, we would like to thank you for helping make our classic meet a great success. The Santa Anita Derby did not disappoint. A Stronghold t-shirt is already in the works and should be available right around Kentucky Derby Day. And how about that legendary performance by Frankie Dettori? It was just spectacular. We are now open for simulcasting, and live racing will return for our Hollywood meet on Friday, April 19th. Opening weekend brings us four big stakes races highlighted by the Grade 2 Santa Maria Stakes on April 21st. Great special events are lined up too, like a big day on April 27th filled with entertainment like the Frenchie Bulldog Derby, a Hot Wings trackside event, and a recently added Laughs and Lowriders event that features stand-up comedians, a classic car show, and a family fun zone all in the infield. The top jockeys, the top trainers, and world-class racing are here at the great race place, Santa Anita Park.
Okay, kids, Dad's gonna teach you how to dance. First, spread your feet apart. Then, pump your knee, nod your head, shake your hips, and bite your lip ever so slightly. Now, with one hand in the air, point at people with the other hand. I call that the rock star.
Dance like a dad. It's a great way to make a moment with your kids.
Now, make a face like it just smells something bad.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Black Gold. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
You're listening to the Amwager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Here they come into the stretch of the Apple Blossom Handicap. Take charge, Lady the Leader. Champion Azarius taking over second. Mandy's Gold is third, and straightened for the run through the lane. It is Take Charge Lady leading in a length. Asiri digging in with a furlong to go. Take Charge Lady leads it. Asiri's trying to get to her. Take Charge Lady is strong. Asiri, the champion, trying one more time. Here she comes down the middle. The champion, Asiri. And she does it. A tremendous finish.
Ah, the tones of Terry Wallace back in 2003, the second of three straight wins in the Grade 1 Apple Blossom for Azari. She's the only filly or mare to ever win that race three consecutive years. And this year's Apple Blossom takes place tomorrow out at Oaklawn Park. Welcome back to the Amwager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. By the way, a little fun party fact about Azari, Bob. I don't know if you realize this. Azari actually won her first career start sprinting at Santa Anita, maiden special weight race, when she was trained by Laura de Ceru. I believe she was 17-1 that day. She won by six lengths and went 108-4 for six furlongs. The proverbial who knew when you see those results, and she went on to be certainly one of the best distaffers of the last, well, probably 25, 30 years. She won 17 of 24 career starts, but started it right away in her debut for Laura de Ceru. Well, we'll talk about the Apple Blossom coming up, but they actually have two graded stakes tomorrow at Oaklawn Park, the first of which is race eight. It's the Grade 3 Count Fleet Sprint. These are four-year-olds and up, going six furlongs, field of eight going in the Count Fleet, including the defending champ and uberly fast Skelly.
Yeah, this is a good renewal. Steve Asmussen, as you might imagine, holds the key. He's got three in here. He's won this race five of the last 11 years, including the last 2 years. He's won with Justin Phillip in 2013, Lemon Drop Dream in 14, Mitole, of course, who's an exciting young stallion now in 2019, Jackie's Warrior, who was a monster back in 2022, and Skelly won this race, and Skelly's back in here, and Skelly's been installed as the even money favorite, and we can fully expect him to go off shorter than that for Asmussen and Ricardo Santana, his regular rider. He did make the extensive trip to Saudi Arabia last time and got caught by the Japanese sprinter Remake after setting a torrid pace in that. He's 6-for-8 at Oaklawn. It's hard to really argue with his chance, but I'm going to do so anyway. His stablemate, who has flashed his abundant talent on many occasions, the six-year-old Jackson Traveler, who Flavian Pratt rides back, is 9-for-28 lifetime winnings of nearly 900,000. He himself is 2-for-4 at Oaklawn. He's a little bit more of a stalker, and you can expect him to sort of track his stablemate's pace under Pratt. Very talented son of Munnings is in here. This race, to me, is just loaded with speed. I don't know if it's, you know, Skelly kind of speed. I don't know if anybody really is, you know, it might be one of those situations where Skelly's the speed of the speed. But if somebody hooks him, then there's some really talented closers in here. One of them is Tejano Twist, who's just a fantastic horse. He runs his race every time. He comes from way back, apparently loves Oaklawn Park. He's got three wins in 3 seconds here against top-class competition. Interesting that Christian Torres takes over for Chris Landeros, for Chris Hartman. On Tejano Twist, you can expect him to be moving late and get a fair chunk of it. But I'm going to take a huge upset. I'm going to take a horse that looks to me like a now horse, the 8 horse, Happy as a Choice, who returns to stakes competition. He's run some massive races at Oaklawn, including the last two. He just seems like the kind of horse John Ortiz trains that really, really is suited by Ramon Vasquez's riding style. He's a very cool, cool as a cucumber type rider. Ramon takes a really nice seat on a horse. I think, you know, he's got a huge amount of confidence in this horse. And he went 6 furlongs in 109-3 last time. I think that the pace will be electric in here, and that Happy as a Choice might swoop him at a huge price. He's 20-1 in the morning line.
Yeah, surprisingly, I came up with the same horse, which means either this horse is going to run awful or he's not going to be close to 20-1. Because what are we both seeing? I mean, 20-1 is certainly an attractive thing about him, but I would probably pick him on top if he was 8 or 10-1 on the morning line. I agree with everything you said, Bob. I just like the way this horse is going. I like the outside post. He just hasn't had a chance against these type of horses, so we don't know yet whether he can or he can't at this level of competition. And maybe Skelly's just going to get out in front and keep on going. And if that happens, fine. I'm not worried about missing out on a 3-5 shot. But like you, Bob, I think Happy is a choice as the now horse. And at a big price, I'm going to put him on top, just like you, in the Grade 3 count fleet. Well, the 11th race is the Grade 1, $1.25 million Apple Blossom for fillies and mares, going a mile and a 16th. We've got a field of 9 in this race, including a SoCal shipper for Bob Baffert, Adair Manor.
Yeah, Adair Manor's real interesting. Obviously, this is the first time she's left her Southern California base, and she contested the Cotillion at Parks way back in 2022 was a day that she really didn't run a jump. Since that race, she hasn't made too many mistakes. She was a little bit outrun in last year's Breeders' Cup Distaff when beaten three lengths behind Idiomatic. She finished seventh that day. And I was a little perplexed by her first start of the year. I think they just had a lot of confidence that they could reel in the reform sprinter, Sweet Azteca, in the Beholder Mile on March 9th. Juan Hernandez kind of confidently tracked the pace, figuring he could pick up that sprinter. As it turned out, he couldn't. Sweet Azteca kept on going. And Adair Manor, to her credit, kept running and only got beat three quarters of a length. I think you can expect a more typical effort from her in this race. You have to take a long look at the three horse in here, Wet Paint, just because she's fantastic at the racetrack. I mean, she did something that three-year-old fillies rarely do, and she swept the three-year-old filly series last year at Oaklawn, winning the Martha Washington, the Honeybee, and the Fantasy. In the Fantasy, she beat Tax by 2.5 lengths, who's in here and will go on and went on from the Fantasy last year to win the Black Eyed Susan on the Preakness Friday. Wet Paint went and finished fourth in the Kentucky Oaks, had a good season. Peaked in July at Saratoga, winning the prestigious Coaching Club American Oaks by a neck. She comes off a layoff. She also ran a subpar race in the Breeders' Cup. The competition might have been a little bit too much for her, but she returns to the races working well for Brad Cox, who we know is very capable off of layoffs. And I think she's very interesting in here, and there should be enough pace to set up her closing style. I'm going to take a crack at Taxed. Randy Morris has had an outstanding meet down at Oaklawn, and I think she's just steadily improving. She had an ideal sprint prep for this race on March 16th. She's been primed. She's working really quickly in the morning. And like I said, she needs to improve a few lengths to beat the likes of a Wet Paint and a Dare Manor. But I think if she's ever going to do it, it's going to be in the Apple Blossom, and I'm going to take a crack that Taxed's going to upset the two favorites.
Okay, I went to Adair Manor. I just think she's been running much better races than most of these fillies and mares have run and maybe can run. She's best suited to the front, but she doesn't completely run bad races when she's stalking. In fact, as long as she's within a couple lengths of the pace, she is a major player. She is won from off the pace in the past and run well from off the pace like she did last time out. Juan Hernandez, a regular rider, is out to ride her, and I just think she's been facing better and performing better than anyone else in this field. I like the favorite Adair Manor in a big way to take the Apple Blossom. They've got four stakes tomorrow at Laurel, Bob, and the first one is race number 4. It's the Heavenly Cause. Fillies and mares going a one-turn mile on the main track, a short but sweet field of 6, but two of them going to dominate the wagering. Number 2, Intrepid Dream. Number 4, Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah, I'd like to add that they're expecting really kind of glorious weather after a tough week at Keeneland, at Oaklawn, and unusually good weather for Laurel. The only real weather worries we have on this AmWager Stakes preview is the Aqueduct Sunday card, which we'll get to later. It's hard to tell what the weather's going to be like, but you know, we've handicapped a lot of races from Laurel. We've seen a lot of off tracks, and obviously a lot of horses have wet track form, good and bad. It's supposed to be a very nice day and a fast track tomorrow in the Baltimore area, so we'll look forward to that. Like you said, Intrepid Dream in here, who is 5 for 6 lifetime. She's a 6-year-old. She's obviously had some issues throughout her career, This is her stakes debut. She's a full sister to the more accomplished Intrepid Daydream for the same connection, sort of the pride and joy of owner-breeder Paul Fowler. Gary Capuano is having another outstanding meet, 12 for 50 at Laurel. Has her primed. She ran really well March 2nd on a sealed slop track. She'll definitely be tough in here. Sweet Child of Mine's kind of an interesting horse. Ships up from Fairgrounds where she's been sprinting. An Ohio bred, probably the most most talented Ohio bred filly in training. She's got tactical speed. I think that this is one of those situations to me that it's a pretty straightforward situation. I think Intrepid Dream is going to win her stakes debut on or near the lead under Javian Toledo and Too Many Kisses, who is just a dyed-in-the-wool deep closer for rider Forrest Boyce and trainer Tim Keefe, who interestingly is a co-breeder of this Arrogate filly. She comes running at the end. I mean, she's won her last two, included a little stakes race on March 16th. And I think it's just a straight 2-3 exacta. I think Intrepid Dream wins it, and I think Too Many Kisses chases her home.
Yeah, I think Intrepid Dream is too much for this field. She's not going to be 7-5. I think she'll be lower than that. I don't know what sort of issues she's had that she is now a six-year-old with only six career starts. Who knows how good she could have been if whatever malady she's had would not have happened, but she's obviously been very fragile in her career. I think she will win tomorrow in the Heavenly Cause Race 4 on the Laurel card. All right, we are going to take another break. When we come back, we are not done with Laurel. Three more stakes tomorrow at the Baltimore area track. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Amwager on HRRN.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
It's been said that when someone you love has Parkinson's, you have Parkinson's.
The Parkinson's Foundation knows that the disease doesn't just affect the diagnosed. It affects everyone who supports and helps care for them.
If you have questions, the Parkinson's Foundation has answers.
We can help you understand the disease
and give you tips for living a better life.
Find your answers at Parkinson.org or call 1-800-473-4636. The Parkinson's Foundation. Better lives together.
Hey, Jude Feld here. I'm back to get you ready for the 150th Kentucky Derby with HRRN's Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale at Alapa. I'll join Bobby Newman live at Churchill Downs Tuesday through Thursday mornings of Derby Week as we bring you interviews from trackside with jockeys, trainers, owners, and other racing insiders, plus workout reports, breaking news, handicapping advice, and more. It's the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale at Alapa, Tuesday through Thursday of Derby Week, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Listen on Sirius 161, XM 206, or streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Coastal Mission looking to work into the clear. Classier tries to go with him. Holy Synchronicity going the wrong way. Sir Alfred James far outside Baby Yoda. And then Payne with Benevengo a lot to do from there. Mish, here comes Coastal Mission. And the local horse up to challenge Mish and take the lead off the turn. Coastal Mission rips away. Opens up by two. Coastal Mission past the 16th pole. Now by three. And Coastal Mission and Arnaldo Boca Chica for Jeff Runco. Gonna take the Russell Road by that three-length margin over for Mish, Sir Alfred James, and Payne.
Welcome back. AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. That was the call from Charlestown races. Coastal Mission getting the job done in last year's Russell Road. He's going to have a big chance in the Frank Y. Whiteley tomorrow at Laurel Park. Before we get back to the stakes action, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Grade 1 winning trainer Nix retires. Trainer Ralph Nix announced that he will call it a career April 14th after saddling a horse for the final time at Gulfstream Park. Quote, "It's time. I've been here a long time. It's just the way the business is going with clients passing away. Had a lot of years invested. I want to get away and do some things before I get too old and can't. I've had a pretty good career. I don't know what the numbers are, but I've trained a champion and 9 Florida Sire Stakes winners, as well as several other stakes winners." He said, "I've had a good run. Maybe it's time for a new chapter." 57-year-old Avery, Texas native, has saddled 722 winners, including Caledonia Road, the winner of the 2017 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies at Del Mar. She was subsequently honored with the Eclipse Award as champion two-year-old filly. She also saddled Aubie K, a multiple graded stakes winner who captured the 2013 Grade 1 Humana Distaff at Churchill Downs. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Follow the road to the Kentucky Derby, plus have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone, updated throughout the day or delivered daily in an email. Both are free. Blood Horse Daily has the largest reach of any industry electronic newsletter or app. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up now. All right, Bob, let's get back to the action at Laurel tomorrow afternoon. The eighth race on the card is the Primanetta. These are fillies and mares going to sprint 6 furlongs on the main track. We've got a field of 7 gathering for the Primanetta, including number 7, Can't Hurry Love, for David Duggan and Trevor McCarthy, shipping in from New York, and 6-5 on the morning line.
Yeah, 6-5 seems very, very short on her. She's 5-21 lifetime. But for one, she's never raced at Laurel. She did have the misfortune that a lot of fillies and mares in recent months have of running into Hot Fudge last time, who reeled her in by a nose. I actually had picked Can't Hurry Love in that renewal of the correction on March 9th at Aqueduct because she's a wet track specialist. I mean, she's just out. 3 of her wins are on wet tracks. She goes very fast on wet tracks. Trevor McCarthy goes down from his Aqueduct base to ride her in this 100 grander. David Duggan is very good with sprinting fillies and mares in general. And she's a stakes horse, but I just think 6-5 is too short. It'll be interesting to see if the 2 horse in here, Anonymously, who's a real 6 furlong specialist and Laurel specialist, an 8-year-old Geoponte mare. It'd be really interesting if she lines up for trainer Jose Corrales, because she'd be doing so on 5 days rest. She ran a good race here over 5.5. On April 7th. That would be a pretty amazing. The 3 horse in here, Center Court Champ, is trained by Jamie Ness, who's 25% here. However, Center Court Champ, who definitely fits and has won her last 2 after being claimed up of Robert Mosco on January 10th at Parks, won her first 2 for Ness. She definitely fits in here in every way, but she's raced once at Laurel, and by her standards, it was a subpar effort. She got beat 13 lengths on a fast track, didn't run a jump. I think she's kind of worth opposing. Disco Ebo, the 5 horse, she's 5-2 in the morning line for Sheldon Russell and Butch Reed. I mean, she's amazing. She's 10-21 lifetime. She's another one with just 1 start at Laurel, and she's a speedster. She actually dueled for the lead in the Barbara Fritchie with the 4 horse in here, Beneath the Stars. They both faded when Apple Picker won that February 17th renewal of that grade 3 race here at Laurel. You know, tough call in here. I'm going to go ahead and take Beneath the Stars. She's 12-1 in the morning line. Javian Toledo rides her for Lacey Gaudette, who's having another trainer having an outstanding meet there. She does an excellent job. She's 26%, 28-106. Just simply because this filly loves this distance at Laurel. And, I mean, I'm going to make an excuse for her. She ducked out at the start, then dueled in the Fritchie. She's working like a horse that's just completely sitting on what she'll need in here, which might be a lifetime peak effort. But I think she's going to break through against stakes competition for Gaudette and Toledo. And at 12 to 1 in the morning, I think she's worth the risk. So I'll take the 4 beneath the stars.
All right, I'm also going to try to beat the favorite, but not with that big of a price. I think number 3, Center Court Champ. I don't know what has come over her since Jamie Ness has taken over the training duties, but her last 2 starts, both for him, have been much better than what she was showing previously. And I think a repeat of either of those efforts, even though they were against softer competition, are probably good enough to make her a major player in here. 3-1 on the morning line, Center Court Champ. I can't get past her recent form. I'm going to put her on top in the Primonetta. Race 9 is the Frank Whiteley, 3-year-olds and up, sprinting 7 furlongs on the main track. We've got a field of 9 gathering in the Whiteley this year, including the horse who won the Russell Road last year, Coastal Mission. Coastal Mission's been facing some tough company up at Aqueduct lately.
Yeah, fascinating entrant here in the 4 Royal Ship, who is a Brazilian bred, who was trained to really good effect by Dick Mandel out in Southern California for a long time. Graham Motion takes over. Victor Carrasco rides, and this horse is multiple grade 1 placed. He won the 2022 San Diego Handicap at Del Mar, definitely a class horse. It'll be interesting to see how tuned up he is for the 7 furlong race. He's only sprinted once in his career, and he finished 3rd in that race, so it's hard to really tell if this is a serious tribe. And the work suggests that they certainly have him fit, but I wouldn't really even know what the targets are. It's just interesting that this 8-year-old midshipman gelding is wound up here. I think that it suggests that the owners, Fox Hollow Racing, still think he has plenty left. Very interesting to see what he'll do in here. Brother Conway, the 8 horse in here for trainer Kieran McGee, Horacio Caramanos takes the mount. He's a horse at 6-for-9 at Laurel. He ought to be on or near the lead. 7-for-15 lifetime, very capable son of Lord Nelson, who's 15-to-1 in the morning line. He'll have to face the attentions of Swiftshire and Jaime Rodriguez, the 9 horse on the front end. Horacio De Paz, who we know from following Aqueduct in recent weeks, is very much in form. It looks like those two might hook and set things up perfectly for my selection. And here are the 7, Prince of Jericho. This is Sheldon Russell and Brittany Russell teaming up, husband-wife team, a horse that's 5-for-9 at Laurel, 2 seconds a third, 2-for-4 at this distance. Just seems like the perfect scenario, a lively pace, and being able to close at 7 furlongs at Laurel is really Prince of Jericho's ball game. And a 4-year-old Munnings colt out of a good Medaglia d'Oro mare, I think that he's pretty live in the spot. 6-to-1 would represent a delightful price.
All right, I'm going to take the gelding just to his inside, number 6, 24 Mamba, another New York shipper coming down to Laurel for the first time in his career. I actually thought he had a chance in the Tom Fool last time out, and he was really never a factor that day. But his previous 2 or 3 starts, I think speed figure-wise, all make him about as good as anyone in this field, and he's a decent price, 4-to-1 on the line. I'm going to give him another chance. Hopefully he'll enjoy the trip down the coast and run well at Laurel in the Frank Whiteley race number 9. Race 10 is the Native Dancer. 3-year-olds and up, going 1 1/8 on the main track. We've got a field of 7 in the Native Dancer. And the 2 that are going to vie for favoritism, Bob, are 3, Shaft's Bullet, and 5, Be Better.
Yeah, I don't know if you encountered the same thing that I did handicapping this race, Bobby, but I couldn't really figure out where the speed was at all. It seems like everybody's got the same running style. They like to close from mid-pack or even further back. By default, the 7-horse, 20-to-1 in the morning line, ain't the beer cold, who shocked the Maryland racing world last October 14th when he won the Maryland Million Classic, actually finished 2nd in that race and got moved up via disqualification. He might find himself on a very, very slow pace under Toledo, who might have a big day. To say that he'll get it done would be a reach, I think, against this field. You've got Shaft's Bullet in here, who brings excellent form into the race, ran a huge race in the Johnson here March 16th, beat a lot of these horses in there. He's 5-for-9 lifetime. Gary Capuano Is another one that might have a big day. And Paul Fowler, again, owns this one as well. So they might be completing a stakes double in here. However, I'm going to take his chief rival, Magic Michael, for the sole reason that I think that a mile and an eighth suits Magic Michael, the one horse, more than Shaft's Bullet. He's by Dromedy out of a Catalfa mare, 12 for 38 lifetime, two wins here at Laurel, 6 for 6 in the money. And although he's never run, never won at a mile and eighth, he's 0 for 3 with a second and a third. He's run some good races at the distance, and he runs very well on this racetrack over a mile and a 16th, and has beaten Shaft's Bullet more than he's lost to him. So I'll take it 6 to 1 in the morning line. Seems like a crazy inflated price. I think he'll be shorter than that, but I'll take the one horse, Magic Michael.
Yeah, you might be right. He may be the right one for the distance here. I went to Shaft's Bullet partly for what you said. I didn't find speed in this race, and I thought of the horses that look like the contenders. He was the one who was going to be closest to the pace. I don't think he's going to be on the lead, but I could easily see him sitting second in behind Ain't the Beer Cold. And if he gets first run, makes the lead, you know, top of the stretch, I think these others are going to have a tough time running him down. 9 to 5 on the morning line is certainly nothing I'm going to run to the windows for, but I think he's going to get the right trip. I've got Shaft's Bullet. Bob's got Magic Michael, an intriguing pace scenario in tomorrow's Native Dancer Race 10 on the Laurel card. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we've got three Sunday stakes to look at. They're all at the Big A. You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
This is HRRN, horse racing's voice.
James Brown and Bill Cowher welcoming you back to Dennis Melvin's house. It's time for the Midnight Snack Run.
This is one tricky obstacle course. Sticking to healthy habits in this kitchen is going to take focus and determination, but it can be done, JB.
He's already entered the snack part of the course, and he's eyeballing a jar of chocolatey candy.
That is tempting right off the start.
Uh-oh, he's reaching, Bill, but he pushes it away.
Great stiff arm.
He's approaching a plate of delicious-looking iced cookies.
Oh, Dennis, you only want one of those?
He blows right by him for the apple.
Oh, the fridge. It's make or break time, JB.
He stares down some rich-looking treats. Uh-oh, looks like he's headed for the soda. Wait, he jukes left, grabs the water bottle, and shuts the door with his elbow in record time.
Unbelievable move. I gotta see that again.
And he's out. He even turned off the light.
That's the way you execute a midnight snack run.
Stand Up to Cancer and Rally want you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today. You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
They have Teen Pauline to catch as they come into the stretch. It's Teen Pauline with a three-length lead. Flash Forward and Royal Lahaina, and on the outside is Centring. And now there's less than an eighth of a mile to the finish, and it will be Teen Pauline. And she's going to get her third consecutive stakes race on Aqueduct's inner track. Erod Ortiz Jr. now has four wins on the day. It was close for second between Centring and Flash Forward.
That was John Imbrial on the call back in 2014. At that time, a Grade 2 event, the Top Flight, which was won by Teen Pauline. Top Flight no longer graded, but one of three Sunday stakes this weekend out at Aqueduct. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then deposit $150, bet $150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's that easy. AmWager is a wagering platform that's loaded with valuable tools and features, including odds charts, odds predictions, and much more. You'll also get free access to Form to Win. It's a revolutionary app that analyzes past performance data in just minutes. Once again, go to link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players, for horse players. All right, Bob, back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview handicapping portion. And we thought we were going to have the top flight tomorrow at Aqueduct and then two New York Sire Stakes on Sunday. They tried to fill the top flight for tomorrow. It did not fill, so they brought it back as an extra on Sunday's card. And lo and behold, the folks in the racing office were able to wave their magic wand and get the race to go. So instead of having one stake tomorrow, two Sunday at Aqueduct, we have no stakes tomorrow at Aqueduct, but three Sunday stakes, and the first of which is the aforementioned top flight. This is a race that used to be a grade one event from like the early 70s until the mid 90s, then grade two, then grade three. In the last few years, it's been a listed stake, and that's what it is right now. Fillies and mares going a mile and an eighth on the main track. This used to be an inner track race when Aqueduct used to have the inner track. Just a field of five going to post. How'd you see this race, Bob?
The good old inner track. Well, I think that judging by what you said, the horse that they were able to hustle into the race to make the race go might be the Mike Maker Train 2 horse, Toehead, that Dylan Davis rides. But, you know, this horse, basically, it's been a long time since she's run well, and she seems like more of a turf horse. She'll line up in here. And there's two horses in here. It's ungraded now, but there's two horses that stand out and two horses that regularly contest graded stakes races and have made an impact in recent months. And the first of those is Comparative, a very nice Street Sense filly trained by Brad Cox. Manny Franco, who's ridden her in her last four starts, takes the mount. She won Thanksgiving week at Aqueduct, and she parlayed that victory over the top flight course and distance in the ladies. She beat Saddle Up Jesse that day by a neck. That was January 6th. She went down to Oaklawn and turned a lot of heads in the grade three Biakoa, beating Ice Orchid and Misty Vale in there under an outstanding Manny Franco ride. And then she went to the Aziri. And then, you know, obviously if she'd done well in the Aziri, I think she'd probably be in the Apple Blossom today instead of the top flight. But she had traffic on the first turn, and she kind of, it was just kind of a dull effort. She was 4-1 in there. Tiny Temper, a long shot, won the race. Misty Vale, who she'd beaten, ran second. And, you know, this is a filly that started the year training at Belmont Park. She went down to Fairgrounds, trained there. She's been up to Oaklawn a couple of times, and now she comes all the way to Aqueduct. Seems like she's had a tough year. And she might need a little bit of a freshening. And her chief opposition here will be my pick, and that's the 3 Tizzy in the Sky, who's been down in Florida at Palm Beach Downs for Todd Pletcher. Kendra Carmouche, who's been really riding excellently in the last few weeks, takes the mount. The last time I remember her running it was when she finished second, beaten a neck by Interstate Daydream. Then she ran second behind Dr. B in the Gopher Juan, but that was on a sealed muddy track, one-turn mile. I think this two-turn race will suit her. She's won really impressively over this racetrack against Lesser at a mile and an eighth. And I just think it's a golden opportunity for her to add to her resume and take down a nice $150,000 first prize here. I guess $90,000 for first. The 3-horse Tizzy in the Sky is my pick in the top flight.
Yeah, I think she just gets out in front of this field and goes. She was bad out of the gate last time out and didn't run a bad race after really having no chance at the start. If she breaks evenly with this field, she probably gets in front of them, and they probably can't catch up. She's too good when she runs her good races. Like you, Bob, I like Tizzy in the Sky to take this year's top flight. Race 5 Sunday at Aqueduct is the Times Square division of the New York Stallion Stakes. These are 3-year-olds going 6.5 furlongs on the main track. Field of 7. Antonio of Venice has more experience than anyone in this field. And if he runs like he did last time out in the Damon Runyon, he's going to be real tough to beat.
Yeah, we've gotten to know him pretty well over the last several months since he was a two-year-old. Very capable and professional son of Lauban, the late Lauban. This horse here, he's just a regular. He's made for these New York Bred Stakes races, and he lines up and doesn't usually miss a trick. He's raced 8 times in his life, 3 wins. He's won $425,000, and, of course, he'll push that over $500,000 if he does this. And on top of everything else, 6.5 might be his optimal distance. Manny Franco takes a ride for Reed Rodriguez, and they do pretty well when they team up. And, he showed that he's still very much in form with a pretty good work on April 7th over the Belmont training track. Friedsdale, it'll be interesting if he runs. We saw him run last Thursday, and it was pretty surprising. They let him go at 10-1, first-time starter from the Linda Rice barn. As I recall, she had 2 or 3 in there. It was kind of a wide-open maiden for statebreds, and Friedsdale really won it impressively, visually impressive effort winning that race on April 4th. Hopefully he came back with plenty left, and they entered him up in here. It'd be interesting to see not only if he runs, but how he performs against really good New York breds. My selection in here is going to be the outside horse, Doc Sullivan, a son of Solomini, who really is just a hot New York sire right now. They paid $59,000 for this horse, which seems like a lot of money, but he's proven that it's well worth it. Finished a big second in the Gander behind Pandagate, in which he had a terrible start, got slammed into at the start. And before that, he was flying around here. I think he has the right running style. I think it's going to be a very, very lively pace. Dylan Davis climbs back aboard, and I think that Doc Sullivan will sweep past this field and stretch in the in this division.
Okay, I'm going to go with the favorite, Antonio of Venice. It's not a race that I really love, but I think he lays right to the outside of heavyweight champs, takes the lead around the turn and kicks for money and goes on to win. I can't get past what he's done recently. I think his recent form sticks him out in the Times Square edition of the New York Stallion Stakes. Race 8 on Sunday at Aqueduct is another New York Stallion Series event. This is the Park Avenue division. 3-year-old fillies this time sprinting 6.5 furlongs. We've got a field of 8 here, Bob, including a super impressive maiden winner in Sunday Girl.
Yeah, this is a division, these 3-year-old fillies, New York breds, a division sort of, seems like they're looking for like a good filly to emerge. Otherwise, as this field indicates, it's just a much of a muchness. I think that My Shady Lady will be favorite in here. Carlos David trains Javier Castellano, takes the mount, simply because she was very impressive, winning by 2.5 on December 16th. In the $500,000 New York Stallion Series race, a very valuable race. And, on her day, she's very capable. She's been freshened up by Carlos David. And she'll be tough in here, as will Sohana. Sohana's another Solomini. My Shady Lady's a Solomini, just a stallion on fire. My Shady Lady cost $100. Sohana cost $200, which is, pretty remarkable price tag for a horse by a $6,500 stud at that time untested. But Sohana's done a little wrong, and Manny Franco, who rides a lot for Cox, takes them out. In fact, they're 6-for-18 in the last 60 days, so they really clicked together. She was well beaten over Sealed Mud by Sweet Brown Sugar last time. She'll have to run better, but she very well could. Again, training right along at the Belmont training track. But I'm going to go with the one you mentioned, Sunday Girl, of course. David Duggan trains Can't Hurry Love, who will be down at Laurel. He'll be right back up at Aqueduct on Sunday to saddle this daughter of Central Baker, who, like you said, under Katie Davis, and it's kind of cool that Katie Davis, who's had a tough last 4 or 5 months, has a really nice horse to ride. She was bumped at the break, and she just blew apart a maiden field. She did so in a manner that looks like she might be able to take this big step up, and I'll take Sunday Girl in Sunday's renewal of the New York Stallion Stakes with a $200,000 pot.
Yeah, I think anything close to the way she ran in her maiden race would beat this field, and I like the outside draw. 2-1 is a fair price. Sunday Girl wins back-to-back. Bob and I both like her in the Park Avenue. That's 12 races. Time now for the AmWager Best Bets.
The AmWager Best Bet.
All right, Bob, you go first, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really, really excellent and exciting renewal of the Jenny Wiley. I think the turf course, you know, will dry out. It'd be probably a good turf course, sand-based turf course at Keeneland. Again, we talked about the likes of English Rose, Gina Romanica, Didia in there. I just think surge capacity from the Chad Brown stable is a really special filly, and she's unexposed, and she just has a fantastic turn of foot. So I think she'll get the job done, and if she's 5-1, I'll definitely be running to the windows, surge capacity in the Jenny Wiley.
All right, nice price and a tough race, but I like your thinking there. I am going to go to a much shorter price, and I'm going to the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn for three reasons mainly. Bob effing Baffert. That's all you need to know, shipping into Oaklawn Park. Aside that, Adair Manor, I think, is just better than this field. I think that most of the races she runs are better than anyone in this race can run, and I think she's going to run a good race tomorrow in the Grade 1 Apple Blossom. Want to remind everyone, speaking about tomorrow, huge edition of the Equine Forum tomorrow morning. Here on the network, our good friend Mike Penna going to speak with trainer Phil D'Amato as he looks back on Stronghold's big win in last weekend's Santa Anita Derby. He also talks to owner Rick Waldman, who shares his thoughts on Wood Memorial Champ Resilience. Trainers Nacho Correas and Robbie Medina look ahead to their runners in Saturday's graded stakes at Keeneland. Plus DRF's David Aragona shares his thoughts on top Derby contenders. James Scully provides this week's triple play, I'll Be Along, for calling all three-year-olds, presented by Spendthrift. Kurt Becker will take you on his weekly stroll through racing history. Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin tackle the sport's hottest topics on I Ask, They Answer, presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program. Huge edition of the Equine Forum tomorrow morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Sirius 162, XM 207, online channel 999, or on our website at horseracingradio.net. Well, Bob, by this time tomorrow, we will know who the top 20 points getters are for this year's Kentucky Derby. We pretty much know now. We know all but 19. It all depends on whether Hades wins the Lexington and qualifies. If he does not win, then we know already who the top 20 are. There still are a couple in that top 20 who are on the fence about running in the Derby endlessly. It sounds like he's leaning to the Derby instead of the American Turf, but it's not 100% deterministic. It sounds like he's leaning toward not running in the Derby, which would let number 21 on the list in. But for the most part, we know by this time tomorrow, we know for sure. Boy, it is not that far off, my friend. We're just 2 weeks away from opening day at Churchill, when they're going to be drawing the post positions and the entries for Derby Day Card, and 3 weeks away from Kentucky Derby, 150.
Yeah, it feels like it too. And I was hoping you'd say by this time tomorrow we will be rich, but c'est la vie. I was interested. I know you spoke with James Scully. How did he say they settle a tie? I mean, we expect a tie with points in the Kentucky. Was it graded stakes earnings?
That's what it is. Graded it's stakes earnings and open competition. Open,
okay,
so not
cool.
not state-breds, unrestricted stakes earnings. And that's why they are listed in the order that they qualify for that race. And we were really looking at the Oaks because there are four of them tied for that 12th, for like 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th. But they are in the order in which they would get in as of now. So, yes, cool. He did answer that. And hopefully, it's going to be a fantastic Kentucky Oaks this year, and it's going to be a fantastic Kentucky Derby. Really looking forward to both of these monster events. That is going to wrap it up on tonight's edition of the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview. For our producer, Kim Price, my co-host, Bob Nastanovich, I'm Bobby Newman. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend at the track, everybody.